Finance and Economics.
Buttonwood. Reasons to celebrate. Investors should not fear a stock market crash.
Shareholders are enjoying one of their best runs in history. Since a trough last October, the S&P 500 index of large American firms has risen by more than 40%. Peers in Europe, Japan, and Canada have all gone up by at least half as much. The fears of last year that stubborn inflation would prevent central banks from cutting interest rates, keeping bond yields high, and dragging share prices down have all but vanished. In fact, many of the world's monetary guardians have been slashing borrowing costs just as corporate profits have climbed and animal spirits have surged. The result is that plenty of stock markets are now hovering near all-time highs. Accordingly, investors are engaged in the activity that is traditional for such moments, not sending champagne corks flying, but obsessing about whether the good times are already over. They are hardly short of reasons to fret. Relative to underlying profits, American stocks have rarely been pricier, and then only before big slumps. Unnervingly, more than a third of the S&P 500's market value is concentrated in just 10 firms. Spurred on by rich world governments' insatiable appetite for borrowing, and especially the prospect of Donald Trump entering the White House and sending America's deficit even higher, bond yields are again rising quickly. Volatility is up too, and gold, typically seen as a hedge against chaos, has been on a rally for the ages. A crash would need a catalyst, but a lot of other potential causes are already in place. Here, then, is a reason to be cheerful should you end up watching a big chunk of your portfolio go up in smoke. Naturally, this would be unpleasant. Yet the nicest result of the past few decades' academic research on finance is that, at least in the long run, it matters less than you might think. The reason is that stocks are more like bonds than most investors realize. As prices, or more precisely, valuations fall, expected returns rise. For bonds, this is easy to see. Just consider what happened in 2022. Interest rates rose by several percentage points, dragging up bond yields with them, to align existing bonds, many of which paid next to no interest, with prevailing yields, prices were hammered. After all, investors would buy bonds only if they were sufficiently discounted from face value to make up for their low coupons. Viewed this way, American treasuries had their worst year in over a century. Unless they sold after the crash, though, this would not have altered their owners' returns by one jot. If they held their treasuries to maturity, they would still receive every coupon they had been promised, followed by the repayment of principal. It is not obvious that stocks behave similarly. For one thing, there is no repayment of principal to make up for a drop in prices. Even so, they do, concluded a panoramic survey of asset price research, published in 2011 by John Cochrane, then at the University of Chicago. The ratio of profits to share prices, once thought to forecast future earnings, in fact does not. What it does predict, much like the yield on a bond, is the shareholder's expected return. Unlike a bond yield, this is not a sure thing. Realized returns might fall on either side of the forecast. Thankfully, as is the case with bonds, investors are compensated for falling share prices with higher expected returns. Armed with this information, one class of investor should welcome a crash. Sky-high stock valuations have badly eroded the returns youngish savers can expect to earn as they age. In a recent note, analysts at Goldman Sachs, a bank, put this into grim numbers. Based on valuations and factors such as market concentration and interest rates, they forecast annualized nominal returns of just 3% for the S&P 500 over the coming decade, compared with a historical average of 11%. A painful crash might at least reset the dial and give youngsters a better chance of retiring at some point. The broader implication is that anyone holding stocks for the long run, in a pension pot, say, is taking less risk than they might think. Investors often imagine year-by-year returns as like a series of independent coin tosses, in which a run of poor luck implies nothing at all about the odds of the next flip. In this world, a crash is simply terrible news. Reality is more pleasant. Investing in stocks is like flipping the coin of the gambler's fallacy. A long series of tails really does make it more likely that you will come up heads next time. Cold comfort, perhaps, when prices are plunging and some of your savings have disappeared, but a good reason to buy at the bottom.